We had a topic that we've been talking about, that we started our last episode, and it was all about the role of men
in society.
I really love your point of view. I think there's a lot of things that you shared. It's always good to hear a woman's perspective, because I do think that what we are not getting is a woman's perspective.
Yeah.
We do get a lot of men perspective about men.
Yeah.
Right? There's a reason why certain people are becoming very famous. You look at a lot of shows on TV right now by men.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys are becoming very appealing because of the topic that they talk about. And people are drawn to this man because of things they have to say resonate with them,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing, which is interesting. But we also need to be able to hear the other side too, because the men talking about it also means, so women just dismiss it as this a man talk. So I really do not, yes, you're speaking the heart of the man, but you're not reaching the audience on both sides.
Yeah.
So it's always good when a woman comes in and share her own perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it is seasoned with grace, not to bring anybody down.
Yeah.
So it's good, our topic that we talked about. This is a topic you and I talk about, men, women, roles all the time. It feels like everything is tied to that.
Yeah.
It looks like we spend our time talking about that. But one thing that we talked about is, you know, I highlighted one aspect of what makes a man is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And discipline is less of what we say yes to, but more of what we say no to.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of men, we need to grow muscles, our mental muscles, our physical muscles, our spiritual muscles, to be able to say no and combat a lot of things that come into us.
Yeah.
So it's not about saying yes, it's all about what we're able to say no to. Because the things that we're going to say no to, is either going to build us or sink us.
That's true.
So then there's another side to it, which is the aspect of discipline. So what makes us men is, yes, after we say no, we have the discipline, we build those muscles, but it's also been available to train, to help, to build others as well.
Yeah.
But what we have is, when we talk about discipline, the ability to say no, the ability to say no to a lot of things that are pleasurable but destructive at the same time, because that's what impedes our legacy and the habit. But then you really realize that a lot of men lack discipline.
Of course.
That's a large population.
Yeah.
And then we go to the other side of discipleship. So let's say we have men who are disciplined, who we believe are good. In this case, you know, godly, meaning they have really core values, but just a good man who have good values. But within that too is a question of availability.
Mm.
They're not available. They're not available because they're concerned about making a name for themselves. They're concerned about how they can build the business that they have.
Yeah.
They're driven by the vision that they have.
Yeah.
That they don't know how to bring in other men. And that's why the majority of men, the Surgeon General of the United States 2 years ago was saying, loneliness has become an epidemic.
Endemic
at this, actually, in America.
Mm.
But the reality is that is really around. A lot of men don't have other men to do life with.
Yeah.
And it's a majority of men do not have bond. They don't have a strong bond with other men.
Yeah. Especially
older men and younger men. They don't have a strong sense of bond. And it's becoming more difficult.
It's becoming more difficult.
Even I look at my life and I'm like, wow, I've grown out of so many other people.
Yeah.
So it's a sense of live a disciplined life. By the time you're living a disciplined life, you have men who are not willing to live a disciplined life.
Yeah.
Or they just want to repel because they think you make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
Which in reality not. But men you're trying to grow with, they don't want to be with you because they want to be with men that they feel they're better than. Wasting away because they feel convicted. But with the when we talk to discipleship, is men who are available to disciple other men.
Yeah.
And I don't think I do think we're struggling because we don't have men who are available.
I think we need to have more men who are available in society for young women. It's part of what we said in our last episode. But I also like that you started it out with the role of a woman to help a man, to help a young man, to help our young boys who are growing up in this society. I am so sick and tired of the feminism rhetoric in society. I doesn't mean saying that, doesn't mean I disagree with other girls being empowered and women being empowered.
Yeah.
But I strongly disagree with attacking men because you're empowering girls. I think we need to have more mothers, more wives, more women empowering young boys. Because while you might believe the rhetoric that you hear out there that men have this advantage, our young boys have been destroyed by the words of those above them. As a result,
they've been broken to pieces.
They've been broken into pieces. They don't know what to do. Nobody's speaking life to the young boy. We find so many women empowering other women. Too many women focus on self-care, self-love.
A lot of forums, a lot of events.
A lot of events are packed around self-love, self-care, women empower women. How often do you see an event, men empowering men? How often do you see an event catered to just men alone to empower other men? It happens, but in smaller circles. And that women hold such power, and I say this because it's true. Our voice matters. I don't think our voices has been silenced as the way it's been said. When a woman speaks, people listen. What happens if a woman uses her voice to empower a young man? You know what I mean? And I feel like we need to be more of that. I'm so passionate about that, not just because I'm a mother to a son, my son, but I'm also, I feel like I'm a big sister to so many young boys. I feel like I'm there for so many young boys who I see are struggling.
Yeah.
And when they tell me about their lives, I just see brokenness from the top down. And how can they not be broken when everybody above them is breaking them?
They're broken as well.
And
it's also a lot of men are running to, or they come to women and they have a little bit of transparency. Like, a lot of the ministry we do is around young adult men and women. So I sense that sometimes they come up to you because they can be transparent.
Absolutely.
And not feel judged.
Absolutely.
But there's also a sense of like coming to me and saying, I don't want Buzz to feel like it's better, or I don't want to look like I'm weak.
Yeah.
But vulnerability is having men that can share the core of who you are. Every man needs someone that you can share the crazy part and they're not going to freak out.
Yeah.
And they can speak life into you. And we do have women have a place to speak life into the man. Because there's that tenderness, there's that, that you need that. Back in the days, we used to have grandmothers, we used to have mothers.
Mm-hmm.
They had enough time in their hands.
Mm.
So they would speak life into a lot of men. They would encourage them.
Mm.
And that would make them very empowered, very inspired to do more.
Mm.
But there's a gap here because we have a generation that has switched entirely, who is always saying, be careful of men, be careful of men, men. I mean, it's crazy how sometimes it's like everybody's careful of men. Men are careful of men. Women are careful of men. Society are careful of men. You know, it almost feels like a man is this demon that we have to curtail, we have to control.
I sympathize with the young men, the young boys, the high school, young middle schooler, who I see behaving in a very feminine way. My heart goes out to them.
Mm.
Because a lot of them claim that this is just their personality, but there's also the few. I cannot generalize in this statement I make it, and I'm trying to be very careful because people can hear what they want to hear. But there are those who become feminine in their behavior, in their mannerisms, because they haven't seen a good example of what a masculine man looks like.
And a lot
it's
of times,
heartbreaking.
They can't find a connection with men.
They cannot.
So they just go all in.
Yeah, everything you hear about a man is so negative. So why should a young boy embrace his masculinity? Why should a young boy who is still finding himself going through puberty, why should he embrace his masculinity when society does everything to bring down masculinity?
And you know the sad part?
And like lift up femininity.
And the sad part is a lot of this men, they get affirmed in those behaviors by women.
They get affirmed.
They're like, oh, I have a bestie. But why would that sense of like, oh, I like feminine guys because I'm able to be myself and there's nothing more to it. And it almost feels like men are like this beast that we have to be careful of, which breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because we're raising a generation of men who just don't know their place anymore.
They don't know their place.
They don't know their place. And I mentioned the aspect of discipleship is the fact that I believe there's something God has bestowed in every single man.
Yeah.
There's a call, there's a place, there's a shape in our heart that has to come into conformity to God. Mm. There's an idea, and that's where He has molded us to be. First of all, you know, Israel in America, we spend so much time on identity. Identity is just basically what God has called us to serve Him, to love Him, right? And be on earth and really to please God. It's very simple, it's not complicated. But for a man to actually live their full lives, right? They need to be around those who's going to speak life, a healthy environment, and they need to stay away from people that's going to break their spirit.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of men, the point I was trying to make is most men are diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
Meaning that it doesn't take much to lift it. But most men know that they were once like that. Mm. But those men that know are those ones who are living their life to oppress because they want to hold on to what they have. We're talking about, we having leaders in America that really right now, they should be mentoring, they should be cultivating, they should be behind the scenes.
They should be behind the scenes.
You know, we used to use the word godfathers. It's not really, of course, it has a negative term to it, but in reality, you should be in a place tearing all the men up to say, I'm going to be behind the scenes. But now those men want to say, I want to stay on the forefront at this point. Yeah. And I love the story of remember when Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and you know, in the Bible, and it went and it says, bring out all the sons that you have, you know. And Jesse did not bring out, brought out like six sons. He didn't bring out, you know, the other son. And one thing that Samuel saw was this guy, the first one called, I believe, Eliab. He was tall. He was handsome. He was beautiful. He looked like a perfect person.
Mm.
And honestly, I do think that we've raised a generation of Eliab where we've put them into leadership, but we've missed out on David.
Mm, you gotta say that again.
because we're looking for the beard, the articulate, the sound. A lot of men are gifted, they're great, they're engraced by God.
Yeah.
A lot of men in our society are. So discipleship is being able to draw out what God has placed in a particular man.
Yeah.
To live and fulfill, man.
You pull it out.
But unfortunately, most of men, maybe including myself, we are pulling it out of ourselves.
Where we are right now in our society, because of the degradation of fatherhood, like there's a statement that we used to say years ago, it takes a village. I feel like more than ever before, it takes a village. More than like we can no longer
for there to be a restoration.
Yeah, you know, we can no longer rely on government. Like I'm even beginning to, you know, how I feel about politics. I'm so like, I I'm not passionate about politics anymore because I listen to the conversations, but I feel like government is not gonna fix where we are in right now.
No,
it's everyone, those of you,
the government is broken.
Yeah, people who have a heart for others. Stop pouring out into everyone in your circle. Every chance you get. Because the government is not going to fix it. The government is the problem.
No, the government... I wouldn't say the government is the problem.
It's
part of the problem and it's driven by interest. Unfortunately, the special interest is very dark.
That's what I'm trying to say. The government... I'm not trying to be like politically correct right now. You know I don't do political correctness. At this point, I'm saying the government is a problem, because what we are talking about, how the older ones should lift up the younger ones. We got Joe Biden and Trump running. They're the older ones. They should have lifted up some younger person and mentored them to be where they are. But I don't want to like skew the conversation.
Yeah.
The government is part of the problem. But those of us who have a heart for others, who sees this? I feel like we need to start rising up to the occasion and know that when you see a young man falling, pick him up. Speak life to him.
Your job is when you see a man who's loving God and you see them.
Encourage him.
Your job is not to try to bring them down.
No.
And see their flaws and poke them.
Yeah.
Or start intimidated by them. And even God created community for a reason. We are part of a local body. We are part of a local church.
Yeah.
Our responsibility as a local church is meant to encourage and build up one another.
Yeah.
Our job is not to say, what is this one doing? What's this person doing? I don't understand what this person... our job is, even if we don't understand, come on now, even if we don't understand, we have a responsibility to build. So it's kind of like a child trying to walk. If the only thing you're doing is blocking the child from falling, how is the child going to grow? How are they going to be able to learn? Like we're trying to treat our kids how to potty, potty train them. One of our challenges now is not getting them to poop on themselves.
Oh Lord!
But that has to happen.
It's taking a long time.
that has to happen.
I'm tired.
For us to build, but that's a difficult.
Oh God, you gotta help me with that.
What I'm saying is that we need to let some men, you know, be in a safe place for them to fall. But there's no safe place for whether young men or old men for them to be able to fall and be protected. So a lot of men are afraid to fall. So because you're afraid to fall, you're not learning. Because you're afraid to fall, you're not growing and you're not challenged. So you need to be in a safe place. You know, there's a spin to this, right? You know, over the years, we always have all these groups. Like, you know, the church has a strong role to play. I mean, a lot of churches started out, a lot of schools started out to be for men, and then over time it opens up. And then you still have like Boys Brigade, you have to have Boy Scout. It was meant to be a formation of men where men develop their identities. Men meet with other guys because when they start early, their heart begins to need each other.
Boy Scout.
And the Boy Scout. And then you have men that oversee that, that train them. But that has even become diluted.
It's been taken
so
away.
Now it's like everywhere. Even I was reading something about, you know, which is a different conversation here, about a college, one of the Ivy League or Ivy League universities, saying that they want to eliminate anything that has a man-only group. And
they think there's the funny thing that they
didn't get rid of the women-only groups. They said men-only. Anyway, it's good. It's a good conversation, man. But do enjoy what we're talking about. And I know you're hearing a lot, and somebody's probably saying, what about the women? So
we're going to get there. We have way too many. We have way too many conversations about women. And that's coming from a woman. There's way too many talks about women, women, women. Women need encouragement. Women need empowerment. But if you look around you, men need more. Our men, our boys, our young men are falling apart. So I don't mind us spending as much time about men, because there's just too many conversations about women these days. You don't have to search too hard on YouTube.
You
see women empowerment. Go search for that.
In a professional.
I don't mean that. Listen, still stay here.
In a professional setting, it's everywhere. You can go to work. You can.
Oh my goodness.
There's an opportunities and avenues, but a lot of times it's less and less safe place. For men to express themselves. And unfortunately, the safe place, you know, there's no safe place, but the place men are hanging out, the places that are very destructive.
And you wonder why they...
Which is the bar, which is all the spaces. But then how does that lead to a fruitful life, a life to raise men?
It doesn't.
And talk about discipline. How do you discipline yourself when every place where men can connect is drink their life
That's
away.
Crazy.
But then we stone them and we beat them up when they become drunkards.
God
help us. But anyway, it's good. It's good to talk about this. And definitely looking forward to our next podcast. And our next episode.
Our next episode of The Basin. The Basin.
Basin. Basin.